Coming up in this segment of The Arts Connection, Poetic Logic returns with Stetson University professor and poet Terry Wittick, and more season previews. But first, here are some highlights from this week's calendar. Two productions are closing this weekend. At Theater Downtown, Man from Nebraska closes Saturday night. It's a new play by Tracy Lex, which was a 2004 Pulitzer Prize finalist. It's about a middle-aged man whose crises of faith propels him into a journey of self-discovery. Frank Hilgenberg is the director of Theater Downtown.
The Chicago Sun-Times said a tremendously mature and multifaceted portrait of an American at the dawn of the 21st century goes to the very core of this country's identity. I think what they wanted to do and what Letts did was they wanted to have that middle American, and also Lincoln, Nebraska being the geographical center of America. It really deals with the basic average American.
The final performances of Man from Nebraska are this Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. Theater Downtown is at the corner of Orange Avenue and Princeton. Just up the road from Theater Downtown is the Orlando Repertory Theater, where Jeff Revels is both the artistic director and the educational director.
What's new and exciting here is that we're fully focused on family and young audiences, and that is all of our shows and all of our special events and our outreach programs are all for family and young audiences.
The Rep's season will include a one-man play about Thomas Edison, a play based on the popular book Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, Miracle on 34th Street, Go Dog Go, To Kill a Mockingbird, and the season will close with Seussical the Musical. But their season opener closes this weekend. You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown. You're the kind of reminder we need. You have humility, nobility, and a sense of honor that is very rare indeed. You're a good man, Charlie Brown. And we know you will go very far. Yes, it's hard to believe, almost frightening to conceive. What a good man you are.
You are kind. You are
Charlie Brown is fantastic, and it works wonderful for what we're doing here at this theater, at the Rep. It speaks to all ages, kids as young as 3 and 4, and as old as you can get, because we all tend to know who Charlie Brown is, some of us better than others. But the messages that come across speak at different levels. Kids get it simply for the colors, the jokes. Adults get that, tap into that Charlie Brown angst, that depression, that anxiety that is right there, right under the surface, ready to come out. So it's kind of perfect from that, and we are discovering the complexities that do go into that strip.
Oh, Lucy, I'm so depressed. I don't know what to do.
I think what you need most of all, Charlie Brown, is to come right out and admit all the things that are wrong with you.
All right, I'll try. I'm not very handsome or clever or lucid. I've always been stupid at spelling and numbers. I've never been much playing football or baseball or stickball or checkers or marbles or ping pong. I'm usually awful at parties and dances. I stand like a stick, or I cough, or I laugh, or I don't bring a present, or I spill the ice cream, or I get so depressed that I stand and I scream. Oh, how could there possibly be one small person as thoroughly, totally, utterly blah as me?
Well, that's okay for a starter.
A starter?
Certainly. You don't think that mentioning these few super...
Final performances of Charlie Brown are Saturday at 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. and Sunday at 2. For information, call 407-896-7365. Finally, the Orlando Deanery Boy Choir will celebrate their 25th anniversary with a special evensong Saturday night at 6 at the Cathedral Church of St. Luke in downtown Orlando. Benjamin Lane is their music director.
Saturday, we're having really a landmark occasion here. One of the outreach ministries of St. Luke's Cathedral is the Orlando Deanery Boy Choir, and I direct that choir as part of my job as cathedral musician here. The Boy Choir was founded 25 years ago by my predecessor here, Murray Somerville, who also directed the Winter Park Bach Choir during his time in Orlando. And he will be returning on Saturday to direct a program for the boy choir. And singing along with the boy choir will be our men's choir, who often sing with the boys, but also a good deal of alumni from the boy choir. We have dozens of alumni coming back from all around the country, really, to attend this special performance and sing as part of it. So we've got a huge choir. And we have a chamber orchestra joining us also. We're performing a Bach cantata, Cantata 99, Was Gott tut, das ist wohl getan. And it's a nice cantata, and we'll also feature a few of our soloists, including Stephen Ng, who teaches voice at Stetson. He's a very fine tenor soloist.
At the reception that follows the evensong, the boy choir will unveil their new website, plans for a new scholarship program, and will sell their brand new CD.
It's, I think, the finest CD that we've ever recorded. We recorded it together with the Orlando Deanery Girls Choir, our sister organization, and it was kind of a result of a tour that we took together back during the Christmas season. We went for about 2 weeks to Central Europe, and so we decided upon returning to Orlando in January that we would record a lot of that tour repertoire and make it a Christmas CD, and it's entitled Glory to the Newborn King, and that CD will be available for the first time at the end of this week.
That tour took the boy choir and girls choir to Austria, Germany, and the Czech Republic. They've also traveled as cultural ambassadors to Japan with former Orlando Mayor Glenda Hood. They've also been to many other countries and across the United States.
Through those kinds of travels, the boy choir has become known in many parts of the world, and I think very well respected for the musical product, but also for the kind of training that we offer to boys who come from all kinds of areas of our community. These are not boys who come to church here at the cathedral, even though this is one of the cathedral's choirs, but it's more like a community choir, and we recruit boys from all around the community, from all kinds of religions, denominations, cultural backgrounds, and so forth. So we are always aware of wanting to expand the mission of that choir, not only in our travels, but in what we can offer to the local community. And we're beginning to think even in new ways now to help celebrate this 25th anniversary about how we can increase our mission, our ministry to the community.
Deanery Boy Choir. They will celebrate their 25th anniversary with an evensong Saturday night at 6. It will feature alumni from across the years, as well as the founder of the Boy Choir, Murray Somerville. For information, see the Arcs Connection page of WMFE.org. The Arcs Connection Sarah Schlossman returns this week for another edition of Poetic Logic, and she visits with DeLand poet Terry Wittick.
We're visiting today with Terry Wittick, who is the director of the Creative Writing Program at Stetson University, where she holds the Sullivan Chair in the Department of English. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Fine. It's great to see you again. We are doing an outdoor interview because, well, because we can. It's Florida, it's a wonderful night, the fans are whirling, and I think that's Frank Sinatra in the background. Talk to us about ekphrasis.
It's a wonderful word, isn't it?
If you can pronounce it correctly.
Or spell it. Also difficult. Almost more fun to say ekphrastic. It sounds like some sort of disease or something like that.
Yeah, I am an ekphrastic when it comes to pronouncing it.
Well, poems, traditionally, it's poems that take paintings as their subject, but it's all kinds of art. So it's two arts sister arts, we might say, that sort of collaborate. Oftentimes because, as John Hollander says, the work of art is silent, and so what the ekphrastic poet does is give the silent work of art some sort of voice.
What was the first work of art that you gave voice to?
Well, as a former Catholic, I was very intrigued by the sort of pictures of the Holy Family. And when I realized that Joseph was a stepfather, I had to write about that. And I looked at a lot of pictures of the Holy Family and wrote about Joseph in my first book, Fools and Crows. And actually, I even took on Mary, whom I found a little insipid. When I was a child looking at those paintings. But suddenly when I understood that that was a remarried blended family, I think she was the naive teenager who didn't know what she was getting into. And I certainly identified with that part of it.
So it was the paintings of the Holy Family. From what particular period were you struck?
I really loved Jan van Eyck's Annunciation, and I loved all the altarpieces, and I looked at them in books. I hadn't yet ever seen any of these, but there was something about the richness of the colors in those pieces and the clearly symbolic nature of the objects, each object just imbued with meaning, which seems so much like the way poetry really works too, that I was very, very taken with them.
When you present your poems, is it ever a thought in your mind whether or not your readers are familiar with the particular works?
That's a great question. I mean, Roberta Favis, who's the art historian, very distinguished art historian at Stetson University, and I sometimes do it together, and she'll show the painting while I read the poem, and we often do this in museums. But, you know, Mark Strand says that the job of the poem is to erase its source. And so I hope that even if you don't know the painting, that you can sort of appreciate the sensibility that informs the painting somehow vicariously through the poem. But I don't insist on that. And I'm a lot more confident about it in Carnal World than I was in Fools and Crows, where I was more closely tied to the paintings.
Well, would you choose from Carnal World?
The poem I'm going to read parts of is called Edith Sitwell and the Carnal World. Now, Edith Sitwell was the ugliest child of a very well-favored family, and one of the things her parents did to her when she was a child was to strap her into various orthopedic devices. Since I was sitting for an oil painter at the time, I was thinking about all this and having to stay extremely still. I realized what sort of inner life you can develop if you're caught in a small space. And of course, the sonnet form is also a small space that you can take advantage of, which I've tried to do here. So I'm just going to read you a couple of these. And it's in Edith's voice. 1. Viewer, it's night. I'm locked into a straightening device. So remove my flesh like an overly bulky gown and trace my spine's delicious curve. My nose's, one nostril's been closed by a metal flap, small bend, and the place where you can plump up like a heart behind twin bars. I can still breathe one-sided poetry, so will, that the night, though long, retains a certain nasty gleam can be seen in its spirits. Fat bluebottle flies, which have descended, it's summer in Staffordshire, are drawn to the usual small dead thing and are far more beautiful in their blue carapaces than they deserve. But lost and stupid too, what can they learn to love that's here? You've already picked me clean, bright thing. You know the answer, beat doubled fists, and can't refuse. When I complained about the decanting flies, someone placed a matchbox in my palm. Was I supposed to trap the things? My wrists were pinned away from my gown sides, remember. You puzzle on while I describe the label. A stenciled blue ship, anchored, and an equally blue canal curling between smokestacks like a cleansing path. Letters in red, ship, canal, and match, as if these make perfect sense together. But the new world's flat. The ship's been hitched to the opposite side from that on which the blue canal, along which nothing moves all day, must wend. And the matches, shake the box, are also absent.
Is it that what strikes on clever surfaces also sticks? My brain's alight. How sly of nurse to kill the time like this, and of you, dear viewer, to swat along.
I would love for you to read Why Your Parents Moved to Florida.
Why Your Parents Moved to Florida. Other imports thrive. Roller coasters, Spanish moss, cooled air, and a pair of teenaged armadillos who fled a traveling tent show in the 30s. Airs dot the berm like overturned helmets. There are still giddy miles of citrus to consider, and although at first they'll bucket it, the sweet corn of March, that fewer clothes are needed, means robins arrive all at once like a shipment of discount flame-hued mittens. It will seem small-minded to be sad here, though they are. The graves fill up, same as anywhere. But as long as they keep a dozy eyelid propped, the sky, so low in buttoned-up Illinois or Ohio, by some huge blue agreement, forgets to drop.
You teach the writing program at Stetson. What do you think your students would love to know about you or ask you, but have been too afraid to ask their writing professor?
I think they ask me pretty much anything, but behind the questions that they ask nervously about the business part of it, how do I submit, how do I get published, where do I go to grad school, how do I write a portfolio, even how do I start a poem or how I count a meter, is this question that they're really asking is, am I good enough to do this? And of course, you know, this is one of those things that you may have a sensibility for, but you have to learn how to do. And so there's hope. And when in doubt, you know, you can always treat yourself with kindness and just keep working at it. So, yeah, there's always that question. That's the great unasked question, but it's the question I ask myself, too. But you have to put it away unless it helps you be a better writer. And I think, really, it does motivate you to be a better writer, to say, am I good enough to do this? Can I try this? Can I tackle this? What will happen when I do? And the consequences are very small. It's not the real world. It's you and, you know, your pen. What bad can happen? What bad?
Thank you, Terry.
Sure.
The Arts Connection, Sarah Schlossman, is the producer of Poetic Logic. Visit our website where you'll find archives of poetry from the last 4 years. That's our program for this week. Thanks for listening. Learn more about our stories online at the Arts Connection page of WMFE.org. Next week, of course, we'll have more season previews. Please join us. I'm Becky Morgan. Thanks for listening.